800 or 1-888-846-7867. We hope you enjoyed today's program. And now, Radio Rehab.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I'm not Lisa. I'm Trey, sitting in for Lisa, who's doing her thing somewhere in, I believe, Indianapolis this morning. One of those high-tech counseling things that she's into. Got hopefully a fun show today. A couple guys in here with me right now. I got Roman, Kai, and Pat, who have all the different links of various sobriety and recovery and things of that nature. Long story short, when the show gets full, we're waiting for our fifth and final contestant. There's going to be basically five generations of what we call sponsorship in recovery, and some of the things going on that, you know, we were talking outside about what to talk about and what we were going to do. And the thing that we talked about, I stopped by and saw some friends at the Old Stone on the way over here, and we sat out there and we were cutting up and carrying on and telling stories. And one of my biggest things since I got sober is, you know, I didn't quit living life, and I got to have fun, you know. And they can't hear you nodding, bro. You got to speak, my friend. And you know, we talked about that a little bit outside here, too. Oh, I hit the wrong button on my chair. But, you know, when I first came in, I thought it was going to be boring and life was going to be over. You know, and I found that not to be true by any means. And I get to do so many things with so many people, and I actually get to live my life fuller now than I ever have. Like Roman,
came back from Seattle. I was on spring break. I was out there for 11 days enjoying life. You know, Pacific Northwest, something I always wanted to experience, and living life to the full today. You know, it's like they say, we're not a glum lot.
Yeah, exactly. And you said spring break. So how old are you now?
I'm 43.
43, and you are a student.
I am a college sophomore.
And let's just talk a little bit about that. You're on a dean's list.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way like before.
I just made the National Honor Society dean's list for 3 semesters now.
You know, that's just such an awesome thing. Because, when I got here especially, there was a lot of older guys, you know. Pat, I know Pat remembers, but Pat's one of the older guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, guys like Fritz, Jim Christian, you know, Sonny. I mean, all the guys. I was in the early 20s when I got here, and now I'm old. But I was scared that's all life had, you know. And, you know, you get to go out and do your thing. I mean, I did. You travel around with your wife a lot. Wife is, she's great people.
Yeah, she's a good egg. She comes from a long line of West Siders here. And she's been one of the wonderful things that's happened to me because of recovery. Without that, I would have never been able to be with her.
Now that just brought something else to my mind. As you're second generation in recovery.
Yes,
I
come from a long line of alcoholics, and my mother was recovering.
And your mother was away. Your mother was what I would call hardcore, big book thumping, step Nazi of a woman.
she was a gentle soul.
She was gentle, but
firm,
yes,
when she needed to be.
Yeah, yes. She would call it like she saw it, and it's kind of odd, the role reversal, because my mother's now in recovery.
Yeah.
In fact, congratulations, Mom, 13 years last week, you know.
It's amazing.
But the whole thing is, I read something, and I'm going to quote Ron M., and don't anybody slap me, because, you know, Ron posted the other day, he said, you know, instead of asking me how much time I've gotten in sobriety, ask me if I've made my amends yet, you know. And as hard-headed as Ron and I are towards each other and have been for decades, you know, he throws out jewels like that at me once in a while. Makes me think, you know. And it's awesome to have people like that around me, you know. And I like it when I'm kept accountable for my deal these days. You know, our home group, we meet on Wednesday nights, and I'll on average, there's, what, 60 guys there?
At least.
I don't know how many are actually technically home group members, but we held each other accountable, and that's something I didn't do before, you know, and it's a big, big difference. Kai, you're the youngster in the group, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Roman. Roman's definitely a good sponsor for me because when I came back, I tried the whole stay out of my social life and just try to stay secluded and sober. And that didn't work. And Roman was a good person to let me know that, you know, you can go do stuff, have fun in life without, you know, secluding yourself. Because I tried secluding myself and I ended up relapsing. And it was horrible. I was miserable sober. I was miserable doing whatever. And I ended up relapsing. It was really bad. And it brought back a really bad time in my life. But now that I'm trying to work steps better and hanging out with my sponsor and grand sponsors and whoever else in the program, I'm learning I can go out and do stuff, and my life gets better every day. Because when I was in the midst of drug abuse and alcohol abuse, I mean, no matter where I was lonely and secluded, being in a room full of people, and felt like nobody was there. Everything I did was uninteresting. And now sobriety has become a tool for me to just enjoy everything I do and find the little things in life that get me through the day, and I'm happier than I can ever be and getting happier every day, and it's thanks to a lot of people in the program.
And we talked about, you know, the differences in people when they get here and life's, you know, we are a swirl of people who generally wouldn't mix, and it's stated that in our literature. How old are you?
I'm 17. I came into the program when I was 15.
You came in the first time when you were 15?
Yeah.
I got sent here the first time when I was 15 as well. I didn't grasp it. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't discriminate. We've obviously, you know, addiction doesn't discriminate anything. Age, race, you know, social background, west side, east side, uptown, downtown. I mean, all forms of life, all ages, everybody can be affected by the disease of addictions. And if you got any questions, anything you want to, you know, ask, well, we're not professionals. Well, so one of us is, but I'm not going to point him out. Area code 812 on the local side, 424-1400. If you're out of the 812, you can call us at 888-846-7867, and, you know, we'll do our best to help you out in any way we can. Saturday morning, sunny outside, you know, it's not as warm as I'd like it to be, but that's, you know, another one of my passions is being outdoors, you know, but I can remember Saturday mornings that I didn't remember, mm-hmm. or I yes. didn't want to remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I don't, when Lisa asked me to sit in, I didn't say I have to go do this show. I get to go do this show. You know, everything I do in life now is not a have to, except, you know, I guess I have to pay bills, but I get to pay bills. So you're going to want to scoot that closer to you. Contestant number 5 showed up.
Hello.
Talking to that thing, Rich.
Hello.
All right, see? Because Rich is soft-spoken, so we had to adjust his microphone a little bit. So we're sitting here, and when we were talking about, you know, differences in living life and from where it was and where it is and how it doesn't discriminate. I mean, we're just a hodgepodge of recovery this morning. I may wait a little bit to get onto this. No, I'll get onto it now. When Rich met his wife, and she's a good friend of mine, and they were under the impression that they were never going to be able to have children. And is that right?
Well, we had been together a while when we were told that, yeah. But mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to bust him out or anything, but I know a little bit about the young man, and he's a fine athletic star, so to speak. Well, I don't want to pat him on the head too much, but he's a very, very decent baseball player, and obviously something happened, and you were blessed with a child that you weren't expecting, right?
Yeah.
It's totally different, you know. It's totally different than what you were expecting, you know.
Right. Yeah, you know, we were told that it probably wasn't going to happen, and then I kind of came to terms with that a little bit, and then took my wife a little longer, maternal instinct or whatever, but eventually I remember we were at Burdett Pool one Sunday and saw a couple other members of the fellowship, and we were laying there, and she said, you know, I'm okay with it now. I'm all right. You know, I've accepted it. Like 2 days later, we found out he was coming. So it was another one of them deals where I guess when you let go, stuff happens, you know.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, we discussed something else, the difference in the ages among us, you know, and things like that. And I actually got sober finally this time, for the last time, I hope, when I was 25. And, you know, last summer my wife and I ran around a lot on the Harley and had a whole lot of fun and did a lot of things. And we went out to eat dinner last night. And people there were like, man, where you been? We haven't seen you. And I was like, oh, well, we got this new thing called a grandbaby. And, man, we get the grandson like 3 out of 4 weekends a month, it seems like. And it's awesome. You know, my favorite part of that is I get to spoil him and send him back to his dad and go, now you deal with him. But, you know, I didn't expect all these things when I came into recovery. You know, I've heard people say, I don't know how many times, if I'd have made a list of the things I wanted out of recovery, out of being sober, compared to what I got, I would have sold myself short. You know, like Roman going to school, you know. Roman and I have done a lot of things together over the years. We date back to pre-recovery. Roller derby, you know, bicycles, skateboards. I mean, there's nothing I can't do today because of the life I live, you know. I'm going to talk a little bit later on about, you know, the different things and dealing with life as it goes on and the things you don't want to deal with that you have to. But it's just, you know, Kai's a good example of the youth and sobriety. And when I got here, like I said, it seemed like everybody was old. And I, at 17, man, when you look around the room, I bet you're thinking, woo, I hope I get to be that old, you know?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I shouldn't be here now. And, I mean, it's awesome to know that I'm getting in it soon. So I can improve my life and live the life I still have a chance to do everything I want to do.
And hold on to that thought, because you still have that chance. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, where I'm going to go with this when we come back here in just a minute. The numbers to call, 812-424-1400 or 888-846-7867. We're going to take a short break. Is it time? I believe it is. We'll pay some bills and we'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Rehab.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store. Ashley Furniture Home Store announces our lowest prices of the season. Queen beds were $550, now just $248. Sectionals were $1,000, now just $588. Even Ashley Sleep Memory Foam mattress sets for just $488. Every bedroom, living room, and dining room marked down to our lowest prices of the season. Plus, take advantage this week on special free financing. Hurry to Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, the number one name in furniture. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you're one of the nearly 1 million Hoosiers who say they want to quit smoking, now's your chance.
I started smoking when I was about 11 years old. Before I knew it, I had a little habit.
Indiana is providing the resources to help you successfully quit.
I was in the hospital and had a couple different things, and one of them was nodules on the lungs, which was a rude awakening.
Don't put it off any longer. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. It's easy, it's confidential, and best of all, it's free. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
I don't want to be pushing around a little green tank and things shoved up my nose and have my chest burning.
Get the help you need to break your addiction. There's never been a better time to quit.
Well, I lost my mother a year ago. She just kept harping at me that I needed to stop, so I didn't end up like her.
Make the decision now. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. That's 1-800-784-8669.
There is a method out there for you. You just got to find it.
Go to quitnowindiana.com to quit smoking. Thank you, Tri-State, for making KC Beauty Mart your one-stop shop. We carry thousands of hair products to meet your every need with over 600 synthetic wigs. Come check out our authentic snapbacks for only $25.99. Boots are buy one, get one half off. And you can't beat our large selection of clothing and accessories. And there's even a 30-day layaway plan. Ladies, we even service your eyelashes for just $4. Stop in Monday through Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or on Sundays from noon to 7 p.m. KC Beauty Mart, located on Van Avenue, next to the Family Dollar, is your one-stop shop.
You can apply for financing on a five-piece living room set at a big furniture store, or you can get the same five-piece living room set at Rent-A-Center. So what's the difference?
Unfortunately, you don't qualify.
Why not?
Well, it looks like you bounced a check back in 1987.
With the Rack Flex plan, everyone's pre-approved, and each agreement includes a 90-day same-as-cash option, so you never have to worry about credit rejection.
I'm not rejecting you. The computer is.
Rent-A-Center.
See store for details. Pre-approved means no credit check or credit required. Rental purchase transaction. 90 days. Same as cash. Not valid in Vermont.
You're listening to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. We encourage you to call into this live program at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. You can also listen on the World Wide Web at 1400 AM WEOA.com. We thank our guests for coming in today. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
All right. We want to welcome you back to Radio Rehab. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. I want to thank my guests for being here as well. Lisa brought this up to my attention. She wanted me to make something going on knowledgeable to people. It's Evansville-Vandenberg County Commission on Domestic and Sexual Violence hosting a free training on the prosecution of crimes against children. Tuesday, April 16th, 2013, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's out at USI in the Wright Administration Building. So if you need information on that, you can call in here at the radio station, 424-1400, 888-846-7867. And we were talking to Kai, a little bit about we were all talking in general about, you don't have to. They told me when I first got here, you're in the group of people who understand how you feel, and you never have to feel alone again. And we were talking about the age differences and things of that nature. And you said something that kind of stuck out to me, is that you were lucky to be here.
Yeah, most definitely.
You want to talk a little more about that?
Yeah. Well, just starting off, in the beginning of my drug addiction and whatnot, it was harmless, and I wasn't all, things weren't going all that bad. But when I was about 14, 15, it started getting bad, and I just became more and more and more secluded, not only physically from my family, wanted to be anywhere but around people that I loved, but also emotionally I was secluded, and I didn't want to let any emotions go. I didn't want to feel anything, and I honestly wanted to be in oblivion. It was almost a deal where I had too much pride to commit suicide, but I wanted to be away. So my answer to that was to just put myself in oblivion, temporarily until the next day when I had to get up and do what I had to do. And eventually I ended up wanting to be so secluded, I made an excuse to go live at my grandparents in a camper, and ended up, it was horrible. I never wanted to be around anybody. I was in there every night. It was horrible. That it was a foul place to live, and just every night it was alcohol and drugs. And I was doing things, I was on drug testing for work, so I was doing things like over-the-counter medications, just drinking, and fake drugs like bath salts and spice. And I got in such a bad way that I didn't even want to be around friends or anybody drinking or drugging. I wanted to be alone, and I wanted to sit there and do nothing, sit in silence. And I got to where I wasn't sleeping, and I was hallucinating, and I became really unhealthy, and everything about my life was just over. Everything was gone, and I had no hope, absolutely none, which eventually brought me to my second overdose that hospitalized me, that put me in a coma. And the amount of drugs I took and alcohol that I drank it's definitely given me a reason to believe that there's a God or a higher power that saved my life. because there's no reason physically, scientifically, that I should be alive right now. And, you know, just living through that gives me the thought that, you know, I have a purpose and there's a reason for me to live, and I can live life without all that, and I can be happy, and every day it's getting proven to me. And I can be around my loved ones today, including my girlfriend, friends, and family, and I enjoy it. And I enjoy seeing them smile and know that I'm doing better. And that gives me comfort, because I felt so worthless when I was using, because I knew everybody was worried about me and everybody wanted me to stop, and I had no fear and I wasn't worried about myself. But the real reason that, you know, that keeps me sober is just knowing how happy it makes everybody, which in turn makes me happy. And the less selfish I am, the better my life goes. And like I said, it's getting better every day.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I'm going to see if I can figure out how to do this. I think we got a caller on the air. Are you there?
Hi, good morning.
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, good morning. I wanted to ask you, what would you advise to a 13-year-old that just starting doing marijuana and he thinks that if nothing's going to happen, everything's going to be all right? What would you advise him?
Thanks for calling. What I would say is what Kai just said. You know, he was 12, 13 when he started. I was 12, 13 when I started. I know. I think Roman was about the same. I can't speak for the elder statesman in the room.
15.
Right around there. Yeah. You know, I think all of us said, and when I relapsed the last time, I started smoking low weed because I thought, this is okay, you know. But it does lead to other things for me, and it always has. You know, you can start with a little marijuana, and then, you know, finally that comes to a point where that's not enough, and you need more and more and more. You're the expert in this. Lay a bit on that on us.
It's better not okay. to use. It's not popular among young people to say that, but a lot of research now indicating that it's not as benign a drug as had been thought. The other thing is that most people don't get defensive about a particular chemical. It's a red flag if somebody starts getting more and more attached to their chemical. All of us around this table can understand that. Yeah. People often describe sobering up as like losing a best friend. But for somebody that young, if they're that attached to it and being defensive about it, the first question is, what is it that is making it so difficult to contemplate not using? For most of us, the idea of not using would be like stepping off into the Grand Canyon when we were just getting started. But if for a young person, it's better just not to use. Like I said,
will you say that
it's unusual for kids not to use, or at least know a lot of other people who do. But there are some warning signs, getting attached to it emotionally, using it when people you care about don't want you to, start to pay a price for your use. And you can start to see that happen, well, like you were talking about,
yeah.
Just from the beginning.
And I just say, for me, a big thing being young and living with my parents, just going out and experimenting, I knew my parents weren't okay with that. I come from a line of addiction, and there was no cigarette smoking, there's no chewing tobacco, there's no nothing, there's no drinking, smoking pot, there's no tolerance for it at all. So when I was going out and doing it a little bit, I became more secluded, like I said, and when I became more secluded, I had things to hide, and I became really sneaky and manipulative. And the more and more I did that, the more I just wanted to stay away from my parents, and the more that drug lifestyle brought me into not even just a drug lifestyle, but a lifestyle of being on the street. It made me far away from people that could help me. So the more and more I fell into this, the more I felt lonely and like I had no help. the more I felt like I had to be on my own. And I was way too young to do it on my own, and I had a problem that I could not face on my own at all. And, I mean, the best thing I could say to do is I wish my parents may have sometimes been a little bit more understanding. And because I can say every time I've gotten in trouble, like grounded or gotten my phone taken away for using drugs or whatever, it didn't help anything. The best thing to do would have been to, you know, say, how did it make you feel? What's going on in your life? You know, what are you...
Talk to them, yeah. I mean, don't be afraid to openly talk.
With a drug addict, getting in trouble is not going to stop them. You have to make them... You have to make them understand what it's doing to them and what it's done to people. And I think it would be a really good thing for this person to meet an addict and hear their story and hear where it comes from and in person, so they can see the look in their eye when they're talking about how horrible it became for them and how it probably started out the same exact way.
That's what they always told me, is the eyes don't lie. You know, you can look in somebody's eyes and see if they've been down the road you have. I think that's one thing that teenagers and parents don't do much these days, and I like to think that I'm somewhat of a cool parent. You know, I'll sit and talk to them about what's going on, you know, because I have been there, you know. It's not like years ago, you know, when family sat down to dinner, you know, like we generally still eat in two different rooms at the same time. But when you sit down and talk to your kids and don't, I guess, don't lecture them, don't belittle them, just talk to them. And if you need somebody to reach out to, look at one of your central offices here. If you want to take them to a, you know, you can take them to a rehab, I guess, to talk to people or some local meetings of Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous. You can find them in the phone books for sure. But when you get a teen, especially that can see somebody that has been there and how it all started. And I can remember being, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, smoking a little weed, thinking everything was going to be okay, you know. But that's how it all started for me. You know, my first thing I ever did was drink, but everything I did in the meantime just enhanced the ability to not feel, you know. And I think that's the thing that kids don't understand these days is, you know, life is what it is, you know. Well, I remember when we didn't have cell phones, you know?
Still don't.
I know.
You right here don't.
Rich still doesn't have a cell phone. Welcome to the new millennium, brother.
Old school.
Yep. You know, I mean, there's so many things different now than it was then. And the drug qualities, and the thing about it is there's not a guy that stands on the corner at Drug Dealer University and goes, this is some good marijuana, this is some good cocaine, don't take this, it'll make your heart stop. You know, there is no quality control in the drug world. You know, it's not Eli Lilly where they got a guy in a white lab coat testing everything for you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back in just a minute. I've got five of us sitting here, and if we can help, I hope we did, ma'am. Give us a call, 421-1400-888-846-7867. Thanks for tuning in. This is Radio Rehab.
Our country was stricken by horrific tragedies in 2012. This has brought the topic of mental health to the forefront of all of our minds. It is so important for our community to recognize and guide our loved ones to seek help. Please, please call Brentwood Meadows if you know someone who may be suffering from a mental health issue. It could be depression, anxiety, or even loneliness. These people need our help. Call Brentwood Meadows today at 858-7200. There's hope. There's help. That's 858-7200.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store. Ashley Furniture Home Store announces our lowest prices of the season. Queen beds were $550, now just $248. Sectionals were $1,000, now just $588. Even Ashley Sleep Memory Foam mattress sets for just $488. Every bedroom, living room, and dining room marked down to our lowest prices of the season. Plus, take advantage this week on special free financing. Hurry to Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, the number one name in furniture. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Tune in every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Sunday Evening Gospel Show, hosted by Byron Lander. Byron plays your favorite traditional and contemporary gospel music while providing you with inspirational thoughts and messages that will bless your soul. You can call in your musical and prayer requests
at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. The Sunday Evening Gospel Show is always found right here on Magic 98.5 FM and 1400 AM.
Listen Monday through Friday at 7:45 a.m. for your Live Smart Tip of the Day, sponsored by Vectren. These weekly tips provide you with some free and low-cost ways to keep your energy costs under control during the winter heating season. To manage your account or to learn about Vectren rebates or other conservation tips, log on to www.vectren.com. Your Live Smart Tip of the Day is heard here on 1400 a.m. and the new Magic 98.5 FM.
Ah, the sound of small business, getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are, because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Thanks again, everybody. Welcome back. This is Radio Rehab. I'm Trey, sitting in for Lisa, out living life, doing her thing. Looks like we may have a caller on the air. Hello. Can't hear you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys this morning?
Good. We're good. How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to call in a response to the woman who just called. And I want to thank you guys for being a network, being there for each other, because I have a son in rehab. He's 17, and he's doing great, and I'm very proud of him. But from a mother's perspective, I just wanted to make sure that when you guys are talking to the when a mother says, hey, what do? Don't forget to tell the families that they have places to go to, such as Al-Anon, Families Anonymous. I go to Celebrate Recovery, and that's a place where you can find a lot of support and figure out ways that you can deal with yourself and how to deal with it, because the addict is not the only one that's broken. The family is, too.
All right, we're going to break your cover. We know this is you. This is Kai's mom on the phone, everybody.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Tiff.
Hi.
We were all sitting here when you started talking to him, and Kai and I looked at each other. I was like, dude, that's your mom. And he goes, yeah, it's my mom. And then the 17-year-old part got it. But, yeah, thanks, Tiffany. We, you are correct. There is things for the families. You know, this is not just a solo one-person disease.
Yeah, it's a family disease.
You know, yeah, and it's easy to, because you're trying to fix the addict. Everyone's trying to help the addict all the time. You forget that you're going through this too, and you need help, and you got to fix yourself before you can fix other people, or, you know, you don't have any control of other people. So it's really important to get some help for yourself and take care of yourself first.
All right, next time I host a show, you're coming in with me, okay?
Okay, like, and say, I'm really, really, really proud of my son. He's a rare breed for 17. He's awesome. So
I'd like to
thank
say
you guys.
My mom would be the best person for any parent to talk to about what it's like going through a child with drug addiction, because she's been through it all and she's handled it quite well, and she puts up a barrier when she needs to, and she's been there for me the whole time, even when I didn't want her. And that's definitely the way it should be.
That was cool that she called in. I was usually my mom calls in, yeah. You know, and it's funny because we all looked around the table at each other and it was like, we knew the voice, you know.
My mom's always creeping on me.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry,
I told you,
guys.
When we tell you he's with us, he's with us. Come on.
I know, but you guys didn't say what I, you know, you didn't tell her about the meeting. You got to tell her. Anyway, thank you guys. I'll see you later. Bye.
Too, about the family programs. And yeah, that's real, real helpful to a lot of people.
Yeah, because it, you know, all the havoc that I created in my life, did drizzle down all over my family. You know, I mean, it affected as far up as my grandparents, as far as I know, and you know, down to my child, and hopefully, you know, my sobriety will affect my grandchild in a positive way. My son's 23 years old, and I've talked to him about it because I dabbled with sobriety for a little bit early on in his life, and then I finally got sober, like I said, at 25, and he's 23 now, and I got sober finally when he was like 3 or 4. But he never remembers any of the mayhem in my life, you know. Granted, I wasn't the greatest dad on earth, you know. I had a lot to learn, but he doesn't remember the wrecked cars, the trips to jail, you know. He missed all that on my part, you know. If he creates his own, that's his deal. But it's so much different, you know, the family thing. You know, my mom is a member of 12-step program in recovery, and you know, I don't go to Al-Anon because my mom was an alcoholic. I go to AA because I'm an alcoholic. I can deal with my stuff, my whole family stuff, on my 12 steps. You know what I mean? Exactly. I don't have to split it up. But the family recovery issues is a very, very important issue, and I'm glad Tiffany called in about that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've got a similar situation in that I have a niece who's about 7 years clean down in Georgia, and a sister and brother-in-law who are in Al-Anon down there. So that's been a blessing for them. So I can appreciate what Tiffany's saying there too. And so yeah, just keep going. Do what's working for you. That's the main thing.
We had talked earlier about, you know, Kai said he always gets, he likes to get secluded and stuff like that. And I talk about how, you know, since I've been sober, I'm out in the middle of things. And my friend Richard said one time, he said, man, you know, if there's one thing I can get you guilty of since you got sober, and that's living life. Looks like we have another caller. Let's see what's going on. Hello, you're on the air with Radio Rehab. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to call into Radio Rehab.
This is Radio Rehab. You're on the air.
I just wanted to, you've mentioned your mom several times, and she usually calls, so I thought I'd call.
Hi, Mom.
One thing that I wanted to talk about, Pat's mom, I didn't have the privilege of meeting her, but I know I've heard enough about her that she was stern and strict and all that, but she was very loving. And some of the girls that I work with have referred to me as the Nazi sponsor, and I finally told them that it hurt my feelings. And one way that my grand sponsor put it is that we're dedicated. We're dedicated to our sobriety. So.
Yeah, my mom was a very kind person.
Well, I guess that would be me. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
I'm trying to turn your radio down, Mom. Because I can hear you in the background. Turn your radio down.
One thing that I wanted to talk about, I didn't have the privilege of meeting her, but I know I've heard enough about her.
No, it's playing back on her radio.
Really dedicated. Her shoes. She's very kind, very definite. She did something that I thought was really important. She took me to an open AA meeting with her. Later realized she hadn't taken my sister to one, but she'd explained that so I could understand about her recovery. But she knew a lot about me and saw me coming down the pike. But she was very, very helpful. I think it's important that you have to let your loved ones experience the consequences of their behavior, but at the same time, like you had mentioned earlier, you can't scare us.
You can't scare an addict. They're not scared of death or anything.
And it's tough for loved ones, for family members, because you have to watch us bounce around and a bit at a time get beaten down by the disease. But it's also really, really great if you can get exposed to examples of recovery. I was lucky that way because I had it in my own home. But like we've been talking about earlier, if kids are being intervened with and sent to see counselors and so forth, it's really good to make sure that they get to see examples of recovery, even if they sneer at them at the time. Because you file that stuff away. Later on, what used to seem pretty lame might seem pretty attractive when the pain gets hard enough. But that is really tough for family members to watch, to see us go through all that stuff. So the things I've mentioned about Al-Anon, Families Anonymous, really, really good ideas.
I'd just like to say to parents, as far as if you're worried about your child, a big mistake, not with my mom and dad, but with a lot of my family, they left out medications. They left out cough syrup, which a lot of youth is just down in cough syrup, which a lot of people don't know. They can get high off that, and leaving out alcohol and just being really aware. If you're in a grocery store, know where they are, know what they're doing, because they can become extremely manipulative. And back when I was using, it was so easy for me because it was such a regular thing. I would just go in a grocery store right beside anybody, a loved one, an employee, and I could sit there and I could steal cough medicine, alcohol, or whatever. And I never got caught one time. So be very aware of what they're doing, and be aware of what's in your house, because you should know everything and what it can do, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's being found out every day and kids will use it. And I did, and that stuff, honestly, the cough syrup and the fake drugs like spice and bath salts, those stuff brought me down more than real drugs ever really did. And it's so accessible and easy to get. And with all that stealing and manipulating and all that, it also leads into that lifestyle where you don't want to be around loved ones and you don't want to get help. And you just feel like a failure because you're doing things that make you feel like a failure. And, I mean, if anything at all, to prevent that, just know what's in your house and know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a lot different with all the other things going on. You know, in the past 20 years, things have changed so much since when I got here. It was just a lot simpler, you know, methods, I guess, to get high, you know. Yeah. I would have never thought of running down to the drugstore and grabbing a bottle of cough syrup and throwing it back, you know. I mean, I just was a naturalist, I guess. I don't know, you know. I like how we got on the family thing, and it's funny. I knew my mom was going to call as soon as yours did. That was great. The family, that's been a big topic for us today, is how it affects the whole family. You know, I remember when Roman's kids were babies. You know, now I watch them going off and doing their things.
And they've grown up in the rooms.
And they've grown up, around recovery, you know, as well. And I remember my son one time, I'll tell this quick story. He was sitting in a meeting one day, and somebody said something kind of off cuff to him, you know, and he goes, "Hey, man, don't you know my granny's the AA police? I'll have you run out of here," you know, because he had been around, you know, the meeting halls and stuff his whole life. And I guess my thing with that is I hope that maybe it planted something for him if and when he ever needs to be here, right. You know. I always talk about how recovery's gotten a lot more sugar-coated than it was when I was here, because when I was here, I got called names by old-timers that I can't say on the radio, but, you know, they said things to me to keep me in check. And had they not been as hardcore to me as they were at the time, you know, I probably wouldn't have stuck around.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. We're going to take another short break. We'll get back here. It looks like we may have some calls coming in. Thank all my guests for being here as well. And thank you for tuning in to Radio Rehab.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store. Ashley Furniture Home Store announces our lowest prices of the season. Queen beds were $550, now just $248. Sectionals were $1,000, now just $588. Even Ashley Sleep Memory Foam mattress sets for just $488. Every bedroom, living room, and dining room marked down to our lowest prices of the season. Plus, take advantage this week on special free financing. Hurry to Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, the number one name in furniture. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Bob,
Baa Black Sheep. Have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Spring is coming, so I want my lawn to be more than just good looking. I want it to stop traffic, and the Home Depot knows just how I like it, without breaking the bank.
The Saving Spectacular is on at the Home Depot. Now get a free gallon of Ortho Weed Be Gone Max Plus Crabgrass Control when you buy one bag of Scott's Turf Builder Halts Crabgrass Preventer with lawn food.
That lawn is my pride and joy.
More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store or visit homedepot.com for details. Valid through 4/10.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really. Don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $24.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in. Radio Rehab, I'm Trey sitting in for Lisa. And we're having a good time. If you could hear the stuff going on during the commercial breaks, although most of it's probably not FCC airwave approved, we're going to take a quick phone call. Hello, Radio Rehab.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hello. Can't hardly hear you.
I'm on the phone. I hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yes. A little bit, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I had an earplug in my ear. I want to ask everybody, was any of you a legal drug head or illegal drug head?
Both.
Both.
What was that?
You went to school. I mean, that's what I'm saying, legal. Were you in school on medication?
Oh, there's a lot of that going on where, I mean, as far as ADD medication, anxiety medication, doctors will prescribe that stuff to kids. I have a 4-year-old cousin who is prescribed Ritalin, which
a drug, isn't it?
I used to steal the stuff to get high, and it was really morbid to think about. Like, I'm 15 stealing a 2-year-old's medicine to get high, and you know, kids will bring that stuff to school. Most parents don't think about it. It's their medicine, just like an antibiotic. So they can take that stuff to school, sell it, and a lot of times, things like ADD medication can seem really productive because it'll make you more focused, more, you know, seemingly more intelligent, more sociable. But that'll get you in a bad way really quick, and you'll end up being sleep deprived like I was. And I mean, a lot of these medications, doctors will just throw out there because it's all about money, and that's a real big thing.
Well, I was not on medication, but I self-medicated, and that's what you hear from a lot of us. But when I described to people, it was kind of like, baby, where have you been all my life when I found alcohol, you know?
Yeah.
And I was still young at that time, but there's a lot of us that describe those kind of feelings early on, and then none of us are planning to become alcoholic, but a certain percentage of people do, including those of us sitting here, so. There's a lot of that self-medication that goes on along with the other.
And I think back when I was Kai's age and around there, the prescription medicines or whatever, you know, the for the children weren't nearly as prevalent as they are today, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Ritalin was just starting to come out.
Can I ask you something?
We were getting pharmaceuticals, you know,
yellow jackets and white crosses. And
yeah, and I mean, I'd steal Xanaxes from, you know, the neighbors and whatnot, and, you know, whoever's medicine cabinet I can get into. And that's something Kai brought up earlier, you know, you guys need to watch your medicine cabinets, you know, yeah. Especially, you know, if you have older relatives who take a lot of different things, you know. I was always of the impression that, you know, if you handed me a handful of pills and I took them, I'd just ask you which way the roller coaster was going.
Right.
Okay. You know, am I going to be up for 3 or 4 days, or am I going to hit the bed? You know, and something else that we'd talked about is the seclusion. You know, the first time I ever crossed that line, I say, when I was drinking, I call it that dark, quiet place where nobody could touch me, you know. And that's what we were discussing a while ago. When you don't see me out doing my thing and running around and acting like a fool like I like to do today, when I disappear, that's not a good sign, you know. And seclusion is, you know, a big factor in a lot of addicts and alcoholics things. You know, they just like to sit alone and, you know, be hermits, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I realize there's a huge difference about being alone when I was using and being alone today. Used to, like I said, I was sleep deprived really bad. I hardly ever slept. So, I mean, it was so horrible to be up at 4 a.m. knowing I have to go to work. You know, stayed up all night and hearing birds chirping. I used to hate it. It would make me cringe. And this morning, I went before the radio show and I got McDonald's and I sat up at Lloyd Pool over in North Park. And I turned the radio off, and I listened to birds chirp, and the sunrise, and ate McDonald's, and it was wonderful.
Yeah,
and, new appreciation. And there's a huge difference. You know, I was alone, but I wasn't secluded.
Yeah, new appreciation for life today.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like enjoying the little things.
I did something similar. I walked out on the front step, and, you know, I still smoke. That's my worst habit I still have. But walked out on the front steps, lit a cigarette, and, you know, looked around, and the sun was shining, and you could hear the birds chirping. The neighborhood was quiet, you know, and I was at peace, you know. I finally found that peace that I've looked for forever and ever and ever, you know. So we've talked about a lot of different things today, okay. Let's start with the families, okay. We're not the only ones that this affects. Obviously, my mom called in, your mom called in, you know. We know you guys' moms couldn't call in, but they probably would have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd have brought your mom with me because that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess, hold on. Are you still on here, ma'am? Okay, I don't know. I just got a text message from my mom that said she's trying to ask another question, and we always turn it down because it gets so much feedback in here. If you're still on there, I'm sorry.
Trey,
if
I want to mention one thing, too, on the family thing. My dad got sober before I did, and he passed with 33 years. And I always remember that the last summer of my drinking, I remember him expressing a concern to me but not lecturing me. And that seemed to work well with me. And then also I remember him sending a letter to me when I was in a treatment center where he described all the good stuff that he found he could experience after he got sober. You know, in other words, he said, son, there is life after drinking, you know. And that letter meant a lot to me as I was reading it. I wasn't quite ready yet, but I never forgot the letter, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the one good thing about it. And that's something else, too, is if you if you scream it at me, I'm not going to hear it as much as if you, you know, like I said, if you sit down and talk with your family, you know, a nice, calm talk goes a lot farther with me than anything does.
Right. Yeah. And I think just the whole thing about understanding from somebody who is one of us, who has experienced life in sobriety, that there is more to life than just drinking,
yeah.
You know, and getting to hear that good message from somebody, that positive message, it's worth it.
Roman, you were talking about that a while ago, that notion of being able to talk directly to kids.
Yes.
Right.
Not a kid anymore, but that language.
Yeah, communication's key with teenagers especially.
You know, they know that you understand the misery, but also like Rich was talking about, that they can see in
right.
you now that somehow that's, you've gone past that.
Yeah.
You're in a good spot.
There's something worthwhile.
No lecture's going to accomplish mm-hmm. that. Seeing it for real.
All right. Hey, are you there? You're on Radio Rehab.
Yes, I'm here. You're talking to me.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yes, it seems like you start out having a hard time hearing everybody.
I don't know why that is.
Can you hear me?
We're trying.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm a 50-year-old man, and I have a 1,000-milligram morphine habit that I just don't know what to do with. I'm scared to death to try to get rehab because I can't go a couple hours without being in severe detox and withdrawal symptoms, you know. And I just don't know what to do. I can't take that first step.
What I would do... when we get off this, because we've only got a couple minutes left on the show, I'm going to have you hold on the radio line and I'll grab the phone, or you can, you call back in and I'll have him hold the phone for me when I get back in the control room. Medical detox is definitely recommended on something that big. And they are very, very, very profound ways to do that where you don't go through the DTs as bad.
Also, not going through it alone is really important.
Yeah, don't try to shake it yourself.
The physical and emotional pain is much less when you do it with other people.
Yeah.
Good programs will also have people, sort of like we was talking about a while ago, who have been through the same thing that you have. And going through that in the company of other people who know what it's like to
be. I was saying that I don't have any support on my end because I'm just a low-life thief, drug addict, and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Hey, man, you're talking to a room full of us right now.
You can be here next week if you want to. I used to work at a rehab, and I hired people who had felonies and were, you know, at one point looked down and on.
Not saying I ever stole anything. I'm just talking about the people around me do not understand my addiction at
It's
all.
Important to be around people who do understand.
And that's what we're saying. The recovery aspect of it, you know, I said earlier on in the show, is you'll be around the people who understand how you feel, and you don't have to be alone, man. You don't have to. You can reach out to guys like us, and we'll be there.
Right. I surround myself with recovery today. I mean,
and when I was in rehab, there was a few kids who came in, and they had really bad detox, and the medicine they gave them to help them detox, they were only down for a couple of days, but they were moving. Even in those couple of days, they felt sick to their stomach, but they were doing great after a while. And I think the friendship and the fellowship that we had in rehab really helped to get past the emotional struggle of it, and especially with the physical struggle. And in rehab or treatment centers, a lot of times they'll feed you good and take care of you to where it makes that detox a lot easier.
Hey, you got a pen? You can write something down real quick?
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Not yet.
Okay, we got like 60 seconds. They got another program.
All right,
coming
go
on.
Ahead.
598-8739.
8739, okay.
Area code 812.
All right.
Give me about 3 minutes and I'll be able to answer that call, man, and we'll see what we can do to help you out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling, man. Wow, 30 seconds left to go, and that one caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Man, well, thank you guys for being here.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
And Lisa, thank you, Lisa. I know you're probably somewhere.
Professor Lisa.
Thanks for letting me come in and do this. It's always, always an honor to get to sit in here and talk about recovery. And I want to thank the radio station and all the sponsors for letting us do this. You know, maybe if nothing else, we may just help one person, if nothing else, you know. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Saturday. And thank you for listening to Radio Rehab.
Life.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning into Radio Rehab, and what an awesome show today was. Once again, we want to thank our guests and host for donating their time to this program of recovery. Radio Rehab is only a support to the real work of recovery and does not offer definitive answers or attempt to counsel anyone in their own personal behavior. Although the show does not endorse any program of recovery, it holds the belief that most recovery